And now to sightseeing. If you go to New York City, there are the usual tourist spots, Times Square, Central Park, and the Empire State Building. But if you want something a little different, head north to the South Bronx. It was home to some of the country's best Latin jazz musicians in the 1940s and 50s, and later gave birth to hip-hop. Nancy Solomon reports on how tourists are learning about this lost musical history.
Angel Rodriguez is a musician, community activist, and one-man tour operator whose long gray ponytail betrays his affection for the 1960s. He calls his tours From Mambo to Hip Hop and will take anyone who asks around his neighborhood.
Yeah, come on in, come on in.
On this day, he's guiding a group of teenagers from Philadelphia around the South Bronx. Okay. They've arrived at Casa Amadeo, the oldest Puerto Rican record shop in New York.
This gentleman here, this is Mike Amadeo, and he's one of our most famous composers of Puerto Rico.
It's a tiny shop lined with photos of Latin stars past and present. The business is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's the last remaining legacy of what once was a vibrant center of Latin music.
All those theaters and clubs are gone. There were 60 venues that you can go dancing to in the Bronx, and now there's only like two or three of them.
In the late 1940s, 13 and 14-year-old Puerto Rican kids were forming bands at school. When band leader Orlando Marin told his group they had their first gig, they almost couldn't go because the piano player couldn't get permission from his mother.
So he went back to Orlando and went, man, my mother won't let me go. I don't know what to do. He said, tell her you're the leader of the band. He went back, told her he was the leader. And she said, oh, really? So she let him go. His name was Eddie Palmieri, a five-time Grammy Award winner.
The music was all around us, and that's all we wanted to do, was to play.
Eddie Palmieri and his brother Charlie were just getting started when, in the early 1950s, Cubans arrived in the largely Puerto Rican and African-American neighborhood. They brought with them a new beat and a dance to go with it. It became so popular, the brothers' enterprising father opened a luncheonette called the Mambo.
I was in charge of the jukebox, and we had the hippest jukebox in the Bronx.
Dozens of neighborhood kids went on to successful music careers. But by the early 1960s, the South Bronx began to fall apart. City services were slashed, property values plummeted, and the South Bronx nearly burned to the ground. The mix of cultures that gave rise to Mambo and then Boogaloo broke down and gangs formed. But in 1971, a peace deal was reached between Puerto Rican and African-American gangs. Jeff Chang is the author of Can't Stop, Won't Stop, The History of the Hip-Hop Generation.
And you have an urgency, literally, for folks on the street to work things out and to bring people together. And so music becomes that glue.
An immigrant named DJ Cool Herc introduced the Jamaican dancehall style of shouting out to the crowd and created something new by incorporating American music.
You know, he brings into it, you know, the idea of rapping over the music. And he brings that to funk, where you have basic sort of African-American 4-4 backbeat that's being syncopated by all of these Latin, you know, rhythms over the top of it. And, you know, it's a very, very unique kind of blend.
DJs began competing to mix the best dance beats, and MCs tried to out-rhyme each other. The DJ Grand Wizard Theodore took me for a drive through the neighborhood while he described the mid-1970s world of hip-hop. One afternoon, when he was only 12, his mother came barreling into his room to get him to turn down the music.
While she was in the doorway screaming at me, I was, you know, rubbing the record back and forth and back. And I finally realized what I was doing. I was like, wait a minute, you know? I had no idea that I was, you know, that I was doing what I was doing, and it became a scratch.
Back on the Mambo to Hip Hop tour, Rodriguez revels in teaching kids about the history of the music they love and instilling a sense of pride.
Yeah, the Bronx was burning down, but all we had was what? Our creativity, our music, and our culture, and it was a voice that they couldn't take away. You know, so it was happening on rooftops, schoolyards, front of the buildings, on the corners, and stuff. You know, and this is the way our people always been.
Despite the lack of landmarks, interest in Bronx folklore is growing. There's a new documentary film, websites devoted to the roots of hip-hop, and there's even a map of key spots in the neighborhood's musical past. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon in New York.